It's a privilege to be able to speak to you guys tonight, to a phenomenal church that I have been on the receiving end of so much, being in the ministry here at Crossroads since Colleen and I started attending here a little over 15 years ago, and then got more involved. And I will say, and many of you I know would attest to this, that one of the things, if you've been attending this church for any length of time, whether it be years or even in months, you would probably agree with me in saying that it's an extremely friendly church. Many of you are here tonight because you've made relationships, connections to people within the church, and that's kind of what I want to talk about tonight. It's something that's just been on my heart, and I'll be honest with you, the more I've spent time going through the Bible and studying and looking at this, the more my heart has been grieved at the same point, the more that I have looked at myself in the mirror and thought, man, I am not doing the job that I need to be doing for the Lord when it comes to this thing of being what I would call hospitable. I want to ask you this question. When we talk about making somebody feel welcome, you know, we welcome our guests on Sunday mornings. We look for guests on Sunday nights. We want to make somebody feel welcome. What are we talking about? What in your mind do you think about when we say we want to make somebody feel welcome? You know, there's probably a wide range of things that we would think that would make somebody feel welcome, or what it would take to make somebody feel welcome. What does it take? What does it take for you to feel welcome? You see, hospitality is defined by Webster as the act or practice of receiving and entertaining strangers or guests without reward, or with kind and generous liberality. You know, I thought that was neat because he said it's not just being hospitable to people you know. The definition actually says being hospitable to strangers or guests. Hospitality is used 4 times in the Bible, the word hospitality. There's twice that it's used in as a requirement for pastors. But that doesn't mean that the rest of the body of Christ is free to ignore it. That's the pastor's job to be hospitable. That's his job. No, because the other 2 times we see it in the Bible, in the New Testament, it's laid upon all Christians. And I want us to think about this tonight. Think for a moment about going to somebody's house for the first time. If you were to be invited to a gathering and you didn't know the host, somebody invited you to a gathering at a house, gave you the address, and it's in an area that you're not real familiar with. They give you the address, say, hey, I'm going to be there, I'll meet you there. Maybe they're running late. You get there, you don't know the host, you're unfamiliar with the area, and the only person that you knew was running late. How would you feel? There you go. Some of us would be honest and say, I'd go home. What could the host do, though, to make you feel more at ease? I don't know. I mean, we're all different. And so there's a lot of different things that we might say, well, this would make me feel better, that would make me feel better. But the bottom line is, it would be upon the host. So if Jan pulled up and they saw her before she got to turn around and leave, and they came out and greeted her, what would it take to begin to put down the walls of defense, to feel more at ease, and to feel welcomed? You know, you would want a host that is hospitable. Someone who is looking to entertain strangers without reward and looking to entertain liberally, just with abundance. How much more important is it for the local church and its members to be hospitable to the strangers and the guests that come on a Sunday? Because just like the illustration I gave about going to somebody's house for the first time, many people will come to Crossroads for the first time. Some of them, it's a new area. Just talked to a couple this morning from Palatka. Came all the way over here looking for a church. They heard about Crossroads. It's a new area to them. Didn't know anybody. Came over. Drove over here to a strange setting trying to find the area, you know, pulling in the parking lot. We got we're blessed with a good sized property. We got a front entrance and a back entrance. Depending on which entrance you come in, depends on or determines what building you're looking at first and where am I going to go. And so all of these things have been just kind of swimming around in my mind and wanting to decide, how good am I and how good are we as a church at being hospitable? Because the church must be a place of hospitality. And so how can Crossroads be a hospitable church? And not just Crossroads as in the local church here, but how about the body as we go without in the community? Because hospitality isn't just what we do here on Sunday. It needs to be what we do daily in our lives, wherever we are. We need to be hospitable. And so let's do this, if you would. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes, and I just want to prepare our hearts, and I know I want to prepare mine because this has really been heavy on me. And so if anything, I'm going to preach to myself tonight, and you're just going to sit back and listen. But let's open our hearts up, and let's just go to the Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you right now. And Lord, I thank you that as we come tonight to study your word and we look at this thing of hospitality, that, Lord, you first showed the greatest hospitality as you entertained strangers without looking for anything in return. And, Lord, you only sought to entertain those strangers to provide to them what they could not do for themselves. And so, Lord, as we open your word tonight, I pray that we would look, Lord, we'd look internally to each and every one of our hearts to see that, Lord, we're allowing your spirit to live in and through us and to be hospitable, both within the church here, Lord, on this property and everywhere that we go. I pray that your word would be clear to us tonight, Lord and Holy Spirit. You would be able to have control of everything that's done and said. We give you the praise and the glory for it all. In Christ's name, amen. I want us to look at Romans chapter 12. Okay? How can we be hospitable as the body of Christ? Here at Crossroads and in our daily lives. We're going to see three things tonight. And the first thing I want us to see, if we're going to be hospitable, if we're going to be a church that's hospitable, if we're going to be an individual that's hospitable, number one, we have to love the stranger. We have to love the stranger. It's real easy to love the people we know and like, right? But to love a stranger is a little bit more. Look at Romans chapter 12, and we're going to start in verse 4. I want you to see, Paul lays out some gifts. He says, for as we have many members, Romans chapter 12, verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, and he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. I know it's a transition. He's no longer talking about the individual gifts. Now he's talking about the Christian as a whole. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, and then what's the next phrase? Given to hospitality. He says, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. And so here we see that there are gifts that the believer possesses. But then Paul goes on there in verse really 9 through 16 and lays out just the Christian life and the way that we are to be. And he says there in the middle, given to hospitality. Now, that word hospitality, that phrase hospitality, given to hospitality, comes from a Greek word that literally means love to strangers. Hospitality there is translated, or the Greek word that was translated hospitality means love to strangers. It's also seen over in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. Flip over there. Hold your place in Romans 12. Go over to Hebrews real quick, 13, because we see it translated another way here. It's the same Greek word. Hebrews 13, and look at verse 2. Or did I write down my verse wrong? Nope. He says, be not forgetful to entertain what? Strangers. Entertain strangers is the same word that was translated hospitality in Romans 12. To entertain strangers. You know, a lot of us think about hospitality, and when we think about it, we think about having friends over and having a fellowship, having food, opening our house up, being hospitable. And we think about people that we're used to. But the Bible, when it's using the word hospitality, is dealing more with focusing on strangers, guests, people we really don't have an acquaintance with. And when we look at the Bible when it comes to hospitality, when we look at that word, it literally is talking about loving that stranger. Loving that stranger. You know, a lot of us find it easy to love our neighbor, love our parents, love our siblings, maybe, depends on how old you are. And we love our parents, we love our children, all those different things. But when it comes to loving a stranger, a lot of times we don't think about that. I mean, how many times have you walked down the street, saw somebody you've never met before, and you genuinely love that person with a love like Christ, that you're willing to give yourself for that person? Because if we're going to look at real love the way that the Bible teaches about love, it's going to be the love that we see in Christ. A sacrificial love. One where we see when it says in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only begotten son. And so if we're going to love the way that Christ does, we're going to have to love strangers in a way that they understand and they see that they're loved. True hospitality is going out of our way for strangers, people we've never met. And we rarely have an opportunity to show hospitality at home to a stranger. When was the last time somebody you never met came on, you know, to your home and knocked on the door and said, "Hey, how are you doing? Can I come in?" Typically what happens when somebody knocks on the door, you don't know. Yeah, y'all, if you're honest, some of you turn the lights off and you hide in a corner and just kind of wait to see if they're going to leave. First, you check to see what they're dressed like. And depending on what they're wearing, it kind of gives you some indication of whether or not you think about answering the door, but really, 9 times out of 10, you lay on the couch, duck the head, and hope, you know, they don't see the TV on or something. They're going to go away. It's not often that a stranger comes to the house and we have the opportunity to be hospitable to a stranger. But every week, we have strangers that come to the church. And even if it wasn't their first time, I guarantee you, even tonight, that's why I kind of mentioned, turn around and find somebody that might be a stranger to you. Not every one of you in here knows somebody else in this room. And we get comfortable, though. I know my people. I know my group. And I get comfortable with that group, so I always go and sit in the same area, and I always go and look for the same people. And if you're honest, not everybody, but if you were honest, some of you, if you come in and you don't see the people that you're used to, you get uneasy. And then you begin to wonder, okay, am I going to have to move and find somewhere else? You know, but that's... there's a flesh, and we're going to get to that. There's a part of us that Satan wants to utilize and keep us from being able to make that impact on people that we don't know, that are strangers. Paul mentions these spiritual gifts, but hospitality is not a given gift. It's actually a commandment. I mean, look at Romans 12 again. Go back over there. He says there at the end of verse 13, he says, given to hospitality. If you back it up to verse 9, I love verse 9 because the first word, and the teens know Paul uses this word a lot in his epistles, is the first word of verse 9 is what? Let. That means you've got some responsibility. You have a choice. This is something that you have to purposely do. And one of those is be given to hospitality. You have to love strangers. How is your hospitality towards strangers? See, there's that comfort level that we allow to become a problem. And if we don't see familiar faces in the room, we put up walls. And we don't think about, okay, Lord, if I'm a vessel, I'm a tool, you can use me to talk to minister to, and just to be a light and a friend to that person, saved or unsaved. It's the loving the strangers. If we're going to be a church that's hospitable, we've got to get outside of the mindset of coming to be around the people that we enjoy being around and that we're used to being around. We have to come and look for the people that we don't know. It takes time. It takes effort. It's a choice that we make. And it really shows up when we have greeters standing at the front door. We have people that are sitting in the auditorium looking for somebody who's new. And they're saying, you know what, that person's a stranger and I love them and I want to be able to go and just get to know them and show them that I love. That's the beginning of hospitality, is loving the stranger. And the next point that I want to make is this. We can say that we love guests or strangers, but do the actions really reveal that we truly are hospitable and we truly love them? If we're going to be a hospitable church, then we're going to have to give of ourselves generously. Not just a little bit, but generously. I want you to think about that. Actually, go over to 1 Peter chapter 4. You can leave Romans because that's one place that we see of the four where we see hospitality. But go over to 1 Peter chapter 4. If we're going to be a hospitable church, then we're going to have to give of ourselves generously, which is over and above Here in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9, look at it with me. He says, use what? Hospitality. Use hospitality one to another, and the last two words, without grudging. But to use hospitality, now what's interesting is the word hospitality here, it's from the same Greek word that we saw in Romans 12, but it's a little different. It's from the same root word. The one over there in Romans 12 was talking about loving strangers. This word hospitality, if you look up the Greek word, it literally means generous to guests. To be generous to guests. So one is saying love the strangers, and this one's saying be generous to the strangers or the guests. So he says here, use hospitality one to another. Be generous. Give of yourselves. When you think about someone being hospitable, you think of them going out of their way to make a guest in their home feel comfortable and welcome. And it usually requires a lot of effort. I know Colleen's over in the nursery tonight, but she would attest. Anytime we know we have company coming over, it's all hands on deck. Olivia usually takes care of the bathrooms. Colleen runs the vacuum. I usually have the steamer hitting the floor. Jake and Gracie will try to give them something, but it just usually doesn't come out real well, so we'll take care of it. But we go through and we clean that house. And then usually what happens, we start to cook something good. Cook something nice that they're going to enjoy. Make a dessert. Some of y'all getting hungry right now. When you start smelling those fresh baked cookies that Olivia makes. She makes some great chocolate chip cookies that were handed down from my grandmother, Mimi, over here. And then the house begins to smell of this great odor of dinner and baked goods, and it's clean. And, you know, they come in, the bathrooms are clean. You're trying to let them know how important they are. And you're giving of your time, and you're being generous. Olivia doesn't like cleaning toilets. Who does? But we see, Clayton doesn't either. But you give of yourself, and it's a part of being generous. You go out of your way doing things that maybe you typically wouldn't do to show that hospitality. If you want to look for an example of hospitality, look no further than our Savior Jesus Christ. Go over to John chapter 13. It's a familiar story. Jesus is here. He's with his disciples. Just hours before he's about to be taken. And we know that he's in the upper room there in the chamber, and he's breaking bread with the disciples. And what is it that we see our Savior do? I want you to look. Not only does he take time to serve, he breaks bread with them. He provides them he gives them the bread and the juice, and he explains to them that it's his body and that it's his blood and that it's a sacrifice for them. But then what I find just mind-blowing, it says in verse 2, when supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to what? Wash the disciples' feet. You know, we know this story, but have you really thought about the level of hospitality? He was willing to go and wash the dirty, nasty feet of the disciples, and not just the disciples that loved him, even the one that he knew that was going to betray him. He washed his feet. That's giving yourself up generously. A lot of us would have maybe just washed a few of the feet of the people we really liked. Maybe. But man, he fed them. He knew what was going on. He got down and he washed the feet. Even Judas Iscariot, who was going to betray him. You know, that's giving of yourself generously. That is really hospitality. Think about how generous Christ was and still is. Think about how generous we ought to be as the body of Christ, individually and corporately. You know, at this point, we can either say amen or we can say ouch. It's one of the two. We know that there's probably a whole lot more we could do to be like Christ when it comes to be hospitable to people, both within the church and outside the church in our daily lives. And to be generous, we're going to have to give. In my own opinion, hospitality is felt, not seen. See, we can do a show of the things that we think are going to be expected or inspected, but if it's not from the heart, it's not really hospitality. Working for a number of years, in the secular world, I worked for a resort. I was in the hospitality industry. And I worked for a great resort that sought to put on the display of hospitality for people. But really the bottom line was there was things that I know that was going on in management and stuff like that. They really didn't care about the people. They cared about, you know, the bottom line. They wanted to put a thing, you know, make when they pulled up, you got the bellhop and all that stuff, and they just make it look like, man, you were just the most important person. But then when you got on the phone and called, you know, the front desk because something wasn't working or something was dirty, and they just like, okay, whatever, you know, here, we'll give you another room. They didn't go out of their way. They didn't. You could tell there was really, that hospitality out front was fake. And you stay around long enough, you begin to tell. It looked good on the front end, but people learned it was limited. Giving isn't always expressed in what you do. Sometimes it's expressed in what you don't do. Have you ever been invited to somebody's house and felt uncomfortable because you walked in with your shoes on? Some of you giggle and some of you think, what's wrong with that? Make them take off their shoes. Colleen makes me take off my shoes. I get it. But if somebody comes over to the house, I don't ask them to take their shoes off. I don't want to put them out. It may be uncomfortable for you to see those, you know, shoes that may have mud on the bottom track in on your white carpet. But at what point do we have to step back and say, okay, it's more about your comfort than it is my comfort? Like Pastor Dan said this morning, you know, it's temporary. The things of this world are temporary. And if I find my identity in my house and my carpet, then what's that really saying to that individual that comes in that, you know, you're not as important as my carpet? And I say it to be funny, but at the same time, I say it to think about this. It's not always what we do, but it's the things that we step back and say, okay, that might not be the way that I would do it or the way I would wear it or the way that I would, you know, drive it. I don't know. But I'm not going to put my opinion on you if it's really nothing that is, you know, a biblical issue in order to try to make myself more comfortable. I want to see that you're made more comfortable so that you can see the light of Christ and there's nothing there that would distract. Because think about that. If the person comes in, you're like, oh, hey, by the way, you got a couple of muddy footprints there on the tile. Could you just take your shoes off, please? Now that person just kind of got a wall up, especially if there's somebody who doesn't know you. Okay? The churches a lot of times are the same way. Somebody will walk in the door and they might be a little dirty. They might be dressed a little funny. They might have their hair in a weird way, which is nice when we don't have a whole lot of hair, right, Shannon? There's not a whole lot of ways to mess up your hair. But they might come in and they might get a weird look or a cold shoulder. That's not the level of hospitality. Instead of the person saying, you know what, I am so thankful you're here. I love you. Let me get to know you. And I'm going to go out of my way and leave the people that I am comfortable with to get to know you. Maybe somebody who I'm uncomfortable with. And where does it start? Does it start when they enter the door? Does it start when they walk up to the front door? I challenge you, church, it ought to start in the parking lot. Something Pastor Dan and I have been talking about, I know his heart is that we get a parking ministry, a parking greeter ministry going, so that we can begin to meet people in the parking lot. When they come in, they're already, you know, tense when they're driving in. Where do I go? Man, let's have some people out there that can say, hey, let me help you out. It's great to have you here today. We've been waiting for you. We are going to go over and beyond to show the hospitality of Christ, so that when they get in here, by the time that they've sat down in the auditorium, they're completely relaxed and at ease and ready to hear the word of God. They're not worried about, man, I can't believe I couldn't find a parking spot. I had to drive all the way over here to the grass and then walk all the way back over here to our check-in station. Then I had to take my kids over there and then I had to come back over here. All of that's going on and we're going to say, hey, but let me share with you the gospel. And their mind's already spinning about, I don't know what just happened. And I walked by 35 people and not one of them said hello to me. These are the things that can happen at the church. And even though we have a great church, it can happen here too. There's a comfort level that can cause us to seek out those familiar faces and we begin to miss the opportunities. We have to look to give of ourselves. We have to start at the very front. And let me give you the last thing here. The last point I want to, it goes off of this saying of giving of ourselves. If we're going to be hospitable, number three, then we have to serve others with a genuine heart. With a genuine heart. We have to go over and beyond, but then it still has to start in the heart. We have to develop a passion and desire to love and to minister to anybody and everybody, whether I know you or not, stranger or friend. Both passages by Paul and Peter urge the believer to show hospitality with a genuine heart. You know, back there in Peter, it said to do it without grudging. Or to do it without grudging. Paul said in verse 9 in Romans, when he's going through that in chapter 12, let love be without dissimulation. Don't let it be fake. Let it be real. It's got to be genuine. It's got to start in the heart. Hospitality can be shown in a number of ways. But when it's shown with a grudging heart, it is a distracting and demeaning way of showing hospitality to somebody. People pick it. You guys know. People have shown you hospitality you knew was fake. They welcome you in the house. Hey, it's good to have you. And then, you know, 5-10 minutes later, they're trying to tell you that you got to go. They may not say that, but you get the impression. Well, it's been great having you. It's good. Really enjoyed meeting and talking for the last 3 minutes. And then you usher them right out the house. It's there. It's been seen. A couple of verses. For sake of time, I'll just read them off to you. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9:7, and this deals with the heart, okay? And this one deals with giving, but it shows that it's the heart behind the matter that God sees, and a lot of times we see. Every man according, he says, as he has purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a, what? Cheerful giver. Somebody whose heart's right first. He says to the Philippians in Philippians 2, 13 and 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Why? That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. You see, the world grumbles and complains. Back where I worked in the hospitality industry, people at the front desk, they put on a big old smile as soon as the guests walk away. They grumble and murmur. Maybe the guests didn't see it, but I guarantee you, some of them pick up on it. Because if it's in the heart, it's going to be revealed somewhere along the line. You know, the Good Samaritan showed a genuine heart through his hospitality. Last place I really want us to look, and it just deals with that genuine heart. And I want us to see what a genuine heart of hospitality really looks like. Go over to Luke chapter 10. I'm sure many of us tonight are familiar with the story or the parable of the Good Samaritan. Jesus is being questioned, and in verse 30... And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. He saw him, but he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan was journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had what? He had compassion on him. He had compassion. He saw him and he had compassion, and it says in verse 34, and he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. You know, I look at that and I think about our hospitality. Are we looking for the people that really have a need? Maybe they have a need for Christ. Maybe they're just hurting and they're looking for a church to get some answers. And they've been struggling. And maybe they're not even coming to church. Maybe it's just in your daily walk. Maybe it's in the office. There's that person on campus at school that's a stranger. You see him maybe every day when you're crossing paths, but you've never stopped to really talk to him. It's awkward, I know. How awkward do you think it was for the Samaritan to see a guy beaten and half dead to stop and talk to him? The priest wouldn't do it. The Levite wouldn't do it. They thought they were too good, too busy, whatever. But he stops and he goes, and what we see here is he was aware of those around him. He could have walked on by and never saw the guy, but he was aware of those who were around him. You're never going to find a stranger if you're not looking for him. You're never going to find a guest if you're not looking. He took time to stop and care. He even stayed with him that first night. Did you see that in the text? He didn't just go put him at the inn and say, hey, take care of him, I'll come back and pay you later. It says that he stayed because it says, and on the morrow when he departed, he stayed overnight. He invested some time with this guy to make sure that he was okay. He went, in my opinion, that's over and above. I mean, he did great just to stop and bandage him and take care of him. But then he put him on his horse, and then he took him to the inn, and then he stayed there with him. He didn't even just leave him there and say, hey, you take care of him. He went over and above, beyond. That was a true sign of hospitality, the definition that we saw of loving a stranger. He gave of himself. He personally invested his resources. I mean, it doesn't say for sure, but I would imagine that the oil and the wine was his. He was probably carrying it with him, and he used it on the man. And then he went and he gave money to the guy at the inn. And the last thing there is we see that he had no limit in mind about what he was willing to do to care for this guy. He said, hey, whatever else you have to spend for him, I'll pay you when I get back. You ever give anybody a check that was blank and say, here, whatever you need? Yeah, a lot of us, I don't think any of us would do that. That's basically what he did. Hey, whatever that guy needs, when I get back, I'll repay you. He didn't have a limit in mind. That goes back to that original definition of hospitality, about looking to serve a stranger without reward. I'm not looking for anything back, and I'm willing to do it generously, beyond. You can't argue that the man served this other man with a genuine heart. If he didn't have a genuine heart, he wouldn't have stayed overnight. He wouldn't have put him on the horse. He wouldn't have taken him to the inn. None of that would have happened if his heart wasn't genuine. And sometimes we can get in routines and do what's expected. Or we think we'll do enough because we might get checked up on and it might be inspected, instead of going above and beyond for the sake of ministry. And when I say ministry, I just don't mean our children's ministry, our teen ministry, the adult ministry. I mean the ministry of reconciliation that God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that was given unto us to minister and to share the good news and the reconciliation, the reconciling work of Jesus Christ was given to us to do. And guess what? If people are going to be able to be reconciled to God with my words, then I'm going to have to show hospitality to that person. If we're going to be a church that's going to welcome people in, and they're going to want to stay here, and they're going to want to listen, and we're going to want to make sure there's no boundaries and there are barricades or blockades or whatever you want to think of, if I want to make sure that there is nothing that is going to keep that person from hearing Pastor Dan or whoever else is up here bringing the message, then I need to make sure that when the moment they pull in the parking lot, we do our best to be hospitable, to make sure there's no walls that are built up. Because I promise you, most people, when they come on the property, already have some apprehension. We want to take it down immediately. We want to be a church that is genuinely hospitable. And it starts outside of the church. It starts in our personal lives. Because then when we come together, and I believe that at Crossroads, we are a hospitable church, but I know that we can do an even better job. I know that I can do a better job personally. And it starts in our hearts. It starts in each one of our hearts. For us as a church to do better, it's going to have to start in the heart of each one of us, and we're going to have to be hospitable in our daily lives to the strangers that are around us. Quit always flocking to those that we're used to and we're comfortable with, and start looking for an opportunity to make friends with a stranger and show love to a stranger. And the result will be that when we are together on a Sunday or a Wednesday, man, we're going to be a team of hospitable people seeking to honor and glorify God with the ministry here at Crossroads. We're going to have to give of ourselves. We're going to have to love those strangers, and we're going to have to do it with a great generosity without limit. Church, if we can do that, and there's a lot of little things that I'd love to start seeing us do, that starting with that parking lot ministry, and some things that I think you're going to start hearing about coming up. But as a church, we should all be ready to say, you know what, I'll be a part of being a hospitality ministry, a first impressions ministry. And it doesn't have to be that I'm out there in the front lines. I don't have to be at the doors. It can be right there where you're sitting, or maybe where you sit next week because you move a spot to see. Let me go see who's over here that I don't know. Looking for a stranger, looking for somebody that God can just minister to through you. And guess what? As you do that, it's pretty cool that God will minister to you through them also as we get out of our comfort zone and meet new people. So if we would just put our hearts to be hospitable, follow the example of Christ and the story that he even shared of that parable of the Good Samaritan, we would begin to see a church of great hospitality and lives individually of hospitality.